Let's pray. Lord, we praise you so much for your word. And as we come to the end of this book of Ephesians, give us clarity of understanding in our minds and move us in our hearts and wills to obey and respond to your word in trust and obedience. Lord, we see in Ephesians 6 today that there is a spiritual battle going on. We pray that we will stand up and engage, that we will understand and have the means to do so by the empowerment of your word and spirit, so that we don't live in fear and anxiety, but in confident victory in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. I'll turn the light out so I can see you and speak to you, hiding in shadows a little. One of the things that flows out of this passage from Ephesians 6, as I reflected on it during the week, is that we all will need to make a deliberate and determined effort if we want to stand firm in the Christian life. It'll need to be deliberate. How deliberate are you about your Christian growth and standing firm? If you just think you're going to drift along, come to church when it suits, only occasionally read your Bible, pray when there's not something else you want to do, or when there's something you're desperate to ask God for. If you only sometimes think about your life and character and whether you're living a godly life worthy of the calling you've received, if that's your approach to the Christian life, then most likely you will slowly drift away from Christ and quite possibly not be able to stand firm on the day of judgment to come. When it comes to sporting ventures, you make sure you get along to training, don't you? When it comes to your career, you might happily study evening classes to get ahead. You make a deliberate and a determined effort in so many areas of life. But what area of life really matters? Is it really worth making such a deliberate and determined effort? In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul wants to remind us that the Christian life is a battle. The enemy is real, and we will need to engage fully in order to stand firm against Satan and prevail in the Christian life. It's not like we need to be worried or concerned, will we make it or will we not? We can have complete confidence in Christ, but we need to do so with a deliberate and determined effort. It's incredible, as we've worked through the book of Ephesians, how big picture and yet how detailed this book is. We started out by seeing the grand cosmic plan of God to bring all things in heaven and on earth in unity under Christ. It's a grand cosmic plan that includes everything over all time, but it also goes down to the minute details of my relationships, the way I relate to my wife and my children, making sure that I speak truthfully and wholesome words. It's to do with all different aspects of my life, that I might not lie, that I might control my anger, that I might not get drunk and avoid sexual immorality. Every part and the details of my life matter to God. Even though the grand plan of God is worked out in the simple everyday details of our godly living and relationships, it's not necessarily going to be easy. You probably know that from your own life. It's not easy to live as a godly Christian. It's not easy to develop healthy relationships. And here in the last section of Ephesians, we see under the surface of life, we kind of peek under the skin of the world to see the spiritual forces at work. And we don't often get a glimpse of that in the scriptures, but we do occasionally, and we see that it's very real. There is a spiritual battle going on. It's often said that the devil's greatest strategy in the 21st century is making you believe that he doesn't exist. But he most certainly does. And he and his schemes, his spiritual forces of evil, are a very real enemy. So let's read again the first paragraph of Ephesians 6, beginning at 10 of the reading we've got. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. There are unseen spiritual forces at work in our world. There is a spiritual battle going on. Paul mentioned back in chapter 2 that the Ephesians, before they were converted to Christ, used to follow the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's hinted at this already in the letter. We like to think we're masters of our own destiny, living our own way and making our own decisions. But very often this is the devil's scheme for us, that we would live for ourselves and forget God. That we'll live his way, which is the way of selfishness and greed and sin. We need to think critically about how we live. We need to be deliberate and determined about our Christian life in order to resist the temptations of Satan and his schemes. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, we're told not to give the devil a foothold in our lives. And that's in the context of when you're feeling angry, you know, you should resolve it rather than sleep on it. Sometimes sleeping on it's a good idea if you're going to say something nasty, and you should really sleep on it. But what it's saying is, don't let these things fester so that the devil has a foothold to make it become a thing of angst and anger to get between you and your loved one or in a particular relationship, so that you might sin against them and treat them harshly. Anger's not necessarily sin, but it often leads to it. And we need to not put ourselves in situations where we're likely to fall into sin. It's important to recognise, as the passage states, that this isn't a flesh and blood battle. This isn't a jihad holy war where us Christians get to go on a crusade. There's no advocating anything like that in the scriptures. But this is a spiritual battle to engage in. Do you know what? That's strange, because I don't see these spiritual forces. I don't often have any sort of obvious recognition that they exist or evidence in the world that they exist. I don't read a real lot about them in the scriptures. They kind of just are assumptions along the way every now and then. But we need to learn everything we can about our enemy so that we can spot his strategies and fend him off. But also, we don't really want to focus on Satan and the evil spiritual forces of this world. Instead, what we ought to do, as the passage describes, is to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So instead of our focus on Satan, our enemy, our focus is on God, our friend, and being strong in him and trusting him and knowing his goodness. And in him we have all we need to do battle against Satan where we meet him. Paul wants us to be stable. One of the emphases, especially in the first paragraph, is to stand firm, stand firm, stand firm. It's repeated time and again. He wants us to be able to stand firm and be stable in the Christian life, not blown around and wavering. And that's what the armour is for. Now, I might even have a picture if you're lucky, and if the controller works, let's see. Maybe if I do a little dance at the same time. Thank you, Bob. You might have noticed that some of the armour here described in Ephesians 6 had its precursor. Now you can see that very clearly, can't you? I'm kidding, we'll zoom in a minute. You might have noticed, that means you need to stay there, Bob. Thank you. In Ephesians chapter 6, you probably noticed that actually some of the armour was recalled from Isaiah 59. Did you notice that? There were two pieces of armour, the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. And actually God bore them in Isaiah 59. In Isaiah 59, there's a cry out for justice, and God's people seem to be oppressed. And God himself is going to come and bring justice. And so he dons his breastplate of righteousness, his helmet of salvation, and comes to the rescue. He has two additional pieces of clothing there, which were the garment of vengeance and the cloak of zeal. And they don't make it into Ephesians, but a few others do. In Isaiah 59, it was God wearing the armour, but in Ephesians we see that God provides his armour for his people to wear. The armour's still his, But here in Ephesians, we're to take a much more active role. So first of all, we'll zoom in on the first piece. The belt of truth is to be buckled around our waist. The truth of the gospel protects us from Satan because we know that we're forgiven sinners, set free by Christ's death. And so when Satan comes to bring an accusation against us, we can hold on to our buckle, our belt of truth, and say, you've got nothing to bring against me. Christ has forgiven me. I'm righteous before God. Hold up my belt of truth, which reminds me of the gospel. One of the most dangerous aspects of our Christian lives is pretending. It's very easy as Christians to want to put on a good front and pretend we're doing fine, or pretend there's nothing wrong, or pretend there's no sin that I struggle with. And perhaps that's a foothold. When we're not truthful and honest with ourselves, or perhaps with others where we have an appropriate relationship for sharing, perhaps that's a foothold for Satan. After all, he is the father of lies and deceit. This is his strategy. But we're to put off falsehoods, to be honest with ourselves and with trusted others, to speak truthfully to our neighbour, as Paul already encouraged in chapter 4, verse 25. And so this belt of truth will give us strength against Satan's lies and trickery. So there's the first piece of armour. The second is the breastplate of righteousness, which we're to have in place. We have a righteous standing before God, not because of our own righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness, which is imputed to us, which is transferred onto us by his death on the cross, by his righteous life. And as we trust in him, his righteous life, his righteous standing before God becomes ours as our sin is transferred to him. So we have this breastplate of righteousness. And as we read in Romans 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is it that condemns? Well, no one. Satan can't condemn us, because with this breastplate of righteousness, with Christ's righteous standing before God, which is ours, he can't accuse us of anything. And so we have this defence, this assurance that we're right before God, so that we don't need to fear Satan's accusations, his temptations. So with that breastplate of righteousness, we then look to our feet. Our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We carry the gospel and we're ready to take the good news to whoever will listen to us. And it's the truth of the gospel ultimately that will combat Satan's lies. It's the truth of the gospel that sets sinners free from his schemes. So we need to keep preaching that forgiveness of sins and freedom and reconciliation with God that can come only through Christ's death on the cross. And so how beautiful are those feet that bring the good news, and we're to have our feet fitted, ready to carry the gospel, because that is the news that's going to set people free. As Paul described, that's what you were to the Ephesians. You were following the ruler of the ways of the air, but now in Christ you've been set free through the gospel. You've been set free from his lies and his schemes. So with the feet ready, we're then to take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, if you remember back to Genesis and the fall, you'll remember that it was doubting God's goodness. Does God really care about you? Does he really love you? Is that fruit really bad? I think he's just keeping something good from you. That was Satan's words to Adam and Eve, weren't they? And it's very easy for us to start doubting God's goodness to us. Why would he let these things happen to me? These health troubles in my life, this relationship breakdown, this loneliness and depression that I'm experiencing. Why would God let these things happen to me? Is he really good? Does he really care about me? Does he love me? But with a faith in God's goodness as our shield, we will stand firm against the temptations of Satan, the flaming arrows of the evil one, which look to bring us down. as we trust and know God's goodness to us that he has demonstrated through Christ's death on the cross. We know God loves us. He's made it known and he's done all that could be done to secure our forgiveness, to demonstrate his love. He sacrificed even himself. And so with that shield of faith, trusting God and his goodness and his word, we can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one and have nothing to fear in them. And then we're to take the helmet of salvation, saved by Christ, forgiven, accepted, adopted into his family, certain of our future salvation, holding on to our present forgiveness and righteousness before God that has been achieved by Christ's work, so that, equipped with the assurance by the Holy Spirit of our present salvation and that is future fulfillment, we can stand firm in Christ. And finally, the only offensive attacking weapon on the list is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's interesting that those two come together, isn't it? This is two things at once. The sword is both the word and the Spirit. You'd think maybe they would take up separate pieces of armour. But what's emphasised here is how tightly they are held together. And you'll find that throughout the scriptures, that the word and the Spirit are at work at the same time. It's very easy for us to be tempted into all sorts of ideas about what the Holy Spirit might be able to do in our lives separate from the Word of God. That the Holy Spirit might bring me some amazing revelation from God. That he might speak to me in dreams, that he might equip me with miraculous gifts. But the Holy Spirit is never to be separated from the Word of God. That it works to enlighten us to the truth from God's Word. That we test the Spirit against the Word, because he will operate in conjunction with the Word of God. And it's important for us to remember that. Now, these are our two offensive weapons in evangelism, because these are the only way that people can be saved. As they hear the Word of God, and at the same time, as the Holy Spirit acts in their hearts to turn them from living for self to repent and trust God at his word, that they might believe the word of God that they hear. And so the word of God and the Spirit of God must both be at work in a person's life for them to come to a saving faith in Christ Jesus. And so these are the sword that we wield. As we, not by our strength, but by God's, might defeat Satan and rescue someone into new life in Christ by the Word and Spirit at work in their lives. Now, all of these pieces of armour will help us be strong in the Lord. They'll all help us to stand firm and resist the devil's schemes to bring us down. They're all God's armour and they all involve relying on him. But just to make sure we get the message, Paul now has a paragraph calling us to prayer. Only God can bring victory. So pray. And prayer is absolutely essential in the Christian life. When soldiers are engaged in active duty at war, and I've spoken to various Army and Navy chaplains, they become a lot more religious than when they're not in wartime. And that's because when engaged in battle, there's a rawness to life and a helplessness to do anything to change my situation that prompts me to call on God and ask his help. And as we engage in battle, we need to all the more call on God to help us, to strengthen us, to help us stand firm, to provide us with this armour and help us resist the devil's schemes. We'll realise more and more that we need God's help in this battle and cry out to him in prayer. How do we pray? Well, Paul exhorts us to pray in all kinds of ways, on all kinds of occasions here. Pray all the time. If in doubt, pray. Sometimes I'm not sure how to have a conversation with someone going through a difficult circumstance. If in doubt, pray. Let's pray about that. God, I'm not sure what to pray here, but you know the situation, you know the circumstance. Please help us. We're lost. If in doubt, pray. Shoot up an arrow prayer. Have a scheduled, organized time of prayer when you wake up in the morning. Pray for a different person each day of the week. I have an app on my phone called PrayerMate, which helps me by organizing my prayer life a little bit. Keep a prayer diary. Try all of it. Pray, pray, pray. Because ultimately, it is God who strengthens us, provides us with the armor for battle, and will enable us to stand firm. We're to be alert. This is a battle, so we need to have each other's backs by praying for each other. One of the great privileges that Phil Parker and I have enjoyed these 2 years is praying for every single one of you by name. Because we're to pray for the Lord's people. The Lord's people everywhere, it says. Let me encourage you to take up that same habit. Pray for one another. Pray for all the Lord's people. Maybe focus particularly on your Bible study group or your group of peers that you spend some time with. You understand the needs of their lives. Pray for them. Pray especially that they be strengthened to put on the full armor of God and stand firm in their faith in Christ. That's what we need more than anything else in life. And in particular, pray for the leaders of God's people, as Paul asks for prayer in verse 19 and 20, particularly for him. Pray also for me, he says, that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. What's to be afraid of? Well, Paul, he's writing his letter in chains. What's to be afraid? He's been locked up for preaching the gospel. His life might be at stake for preaching the gospel. I understand what he's talking about. I feel the temptation to compromise what I say as a preacher, to be popular and appeal to people, to never talk about judgment, to avoid controversial issues like hell or sexuality. But you know what? This is my sword. This is your sword. And we need to pray for each other that we will wield this sword boldly and fearlessly. We need to do so with gentleness and care, yes, but to speak the truth of God's word in a culture and society that is veering further and further away from its Christian roots and foundations. And that's okay, because it will enable the truth of God to stand out more clearly, that people will understand what's at stake, that we will cling to Jesus Christ. Because it's in him alone that we have assurance and faith. If we stray from Christ and his word, then we unwittingly come into the devil's schemes, from which the Ephesians were saved from, as we remember in the earlier chapters. We might not realize it, but that way of life is really succumbing to his plans and will lead us to hell. So stand firm in Christ and put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand. Paul ends his letter with some greetings, and it's always very personal with Paul. He sends an envoy instead of an email. It's interesting times. And as we wrap up this book of Ephesians, we see that the incredible grand plan of God to bring all things in heaven and on earth under Christ, that involves you and me. And he has given us the armor to help us stand firm. He does give us the strength not to give in to the devil's schemes, but to resist his temptations and trust in Christ. And he does exhort us to be active and deliberate in our Christian lives. Will you make New Year's resolutions? Some people do and some people don't. Most people don't hold on to them for too long. But is this a resolution worth having? That you might look over this armour and think about how you could put it on more deliberately each day. Think about how you can more deliberately stand firm in Christ and strengthen your faith in Him in the new year. What resolution might you make to be deliberate about the Christian life and not just drift along, being vulnerable to Satan and his schemes? Let's pray. Lord, we praise you so much for the great news of Christ, forgiveness and reconciliation, peace with you. We pray that you would help us to recognize and not be flippant about our Christian life, but to recognize that Satan and his schemes are active and real, that we might stand firm in our faith and be deliberate, that we might pray for one another and support one another in our faith in Christ, and that you might hold us fast. May we be a church of prayer and a people of prayer that rely on you in all circumstances and that uphold one another. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.